Now, don't raise your hands, but I'm going to ask a question, and that is this. How many of you have a Facebook account? Probably most of you. And you use your Facebook account to keep up with friends and grandchildren, to see photos of Little League games and ballet recitals, to get news about your upcoming reunion, to be reminded of somebody's birthday. Maybe you like to play games or read the news feeds. I do have a Facebook account, but I don't use it. I had to create the account rather reluctantly for a class I was taking a couple years ago, and I just have one friend, and it's the teacher of the class, which makes me like teacher's pet or something. I mean, I haven't even friended my wife. Not that she's asked, but we haven't friended. One day, I imagine that the powers that be will audit my Facebook account, see that I've done nothing, and then erase the account and cast me into the outer darkness where I should be. Now, why don't I have a Facebook account? I mean, doesn't everybody, don't we need it to just get through the day? Well, there's several reasons I don't. One is time. I consistently hear about how much time people say they waste just goofing around on Facebook. And I already have plenty of ways to waste time. I don't need more. Another reason that I keep away from Facebook is that Facebook distorts our lives. Studies have shown that using Facebook has a detrimental effect on people's overall well-being. It decreases their happiness and increases feelings of envy when they see how wonderful other people's lives appear to be based by what they have posted about their lives. I could be standing on the bow of a yacht in the Mediterranean Ocean, nibbling caviar, and I could look at Facebook and see a post from a guy I knew back in college, which showed him grilling burgers with his buddies out by the lake, and I would think, boy, his life is so much better than mine. The primary reason that I stay away from Facebook, however, is not time or lifestyles or whatever. It has to do with privacy. Not privacy from other people, but privacy from Facebook itself, the corporation. The thing we have to remember is that Facebook is a business. You may not pay anything directly to them, so it seems like a free service. But Facebook earns the bulk of its money from advertising. They place ads on the pages that you look at. And the more time you spend on Facebook, the more ads you see, the more money they make. And it seems to be working pretty well. In 2015, the last time we have a report, Facebook reported revenue of $18 billion. And that number will grow in 2016. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, is estimated to be worth $56 billion, which ranks him fifth wealthiest person in the world, according to Forbes magazine. So how does Facebook entice you to mouse around for hour after hour? Well, one thing they do is attempt to connect you with other people, and by then constantly expanding your list of friends by suggesting people that you might know. And where does Facebook get the names of people that you might know? Well, first of all, they get them from your address book and your emails. Now, you can deny them permission to do this, but it's difficult. And they're pretty sneaky about sneaking little buttons in that give them permission to do things. And if you have the Facebook app in your phone, you're sunk because it'll just vacuum up all the information there. Contacts, numbers, your call history, who called you, who you called, emails, messages, and more. And the other thing that Facebook does, and they don't like to talk about it, is to create what are known as shadow profiles. Your regular profile is the information that you post about yourself, your name, address, employer, spouse, or significant other, where you went to school, stuff like that. It's the stuff you want the world to see. Facebook creates a secret, secondary profile of information that they have collected about you from other people, other sources. If, for example, your name is in someone else's address book, then Facebook links them to you. Your phone number in their phone links them to you. And these people, the people who have connections with you, they become part of your shadow profile, plus the people that they know, and so on. And Facebook uses this secret profile to find the people that you might know. So what's the big deal about it? It's just Facebook. It's just names. Well, imagine you are, say, a psychiatrist, and suddenly all of your clients who would rather remain anonymous are grouped together in Facebook because of their connection to you. Or you are a journalist working on a dangerous story, and Facebook links you to one of your sources, which could be dangerous for you or them. This week, as I was working on this, I went and looked at my account, and I was surprised to see that in my person you may know list was a surgeon that I had seen just once as a referral. That person is not in my address book, but somehow he's been linked to me. And this may or may not be information that I want people to have. There are a lot of other ways that Facebook can link people through photographs, location, where you are at any particular time, and more. I'm not saying that you should get rid of your Facebook, but be careful. Our reading today is Psalm 139. Have you figured out where I'm going with this? If not, maybe this joke will help. What is the difference between God and Facebook? Well, one is an all-powerful presence with knowledge of everything, and the other is God. You'll get it. Psalm 139 is a beautiful soliloquy to God about how well God knows us. And it begins with these words, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." And the word Lord here is actually Yahweh, which is the personal name for God. The song addresses God personally. You searched me out. You found me. You know me. You know my activities. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know what I am thinking. You know all that I do. You know where I go and where I sleep each night. Before I speak, you know what I'm going to say. You are all around me. You've got me fenced in. There is nowhere I can go that you are not there. Now, while I may be questioning Facebook's privacy policies, the psalmist here rejoices that God knows him completely. You know all about me, and I find that to be wonderful. I cannot fathom all that you know about me. We don't know why the psalmist wrote this psalm. It certainly stands as a testament to God's power, but one contemporary scholar has an interesting take on the origins of the psalm. He has proposed that the psalm was written by a priest who may have been wrongly accused of a transgression against God, possibly something like idolatry, worshiping a different god. But in his defense, the priest calls out to God, saying, "God, you know me better than I know myself. You know I did not do these things of which I have been accused." And then the psalmist also recounts how God created him. "You formed my inner parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am wonderfully made. Before I was born, I was just a mass of unformed substance, but you looked upon me, and suddenly all the days of my life were written out in your great book. You are more than I can measure, and to the end of my life, I will be with you." Whether the writer was accused of some transgression or not, this psalm has stood for generations as a celebration of God's enduring love for us. Now, Facebook is not the only human entity that wants our personal information. Politicians would love to know our voting habits. Insurance companies want to have access to our DNA and our genetics. Credit companies want our financial history. Everyone, it seems, has an ulterior motive, a way to profit from us, except God. God made us. God loves us. God desires nothing but a relationship with us. Martin Buber was an early 20th century Jewish philosopher, and he offers this description of the relationship that we have with God. And in his words, a poem, we find a reflection of Psalm 139. Hear these words. Where I wander, you. Where I ponder, you. Only you, you again, always you, 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 you. When I am gladdened, you. When I am saddened, you. Only you, you again, always you, 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 you. Sky is you. Earth is you. You above, you below, in every trend, at every end. Only you, you again, always you, 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 you. In composing Psalm 139, the psalmist wasn't concerned with the presence of big data in his life. That didn't exist. The psalmist, however, was aware that God knew everything about him, his thoughts, his movements, his words. Instead of being disturbed or frightened, the psalmist is reassured by this fact. And it was the source of ultimate comfort to know that God, Yahweh, the Creator, knows us intimately, better than we know ourselves. Even in death, God is with us. God does not use this knowledge to profit off of us, to use us, to persuade us how to vote, to influence what we buy. No, it is the experience of the psalmist that God simply knows us and loves us. It is possible, when we allow it, to feel the warmth of God's love and presence flowing over us. That is an embrace that is like no other. When we are lost or broken or feel forgotten, the psalm reminds us of God's willingness to be with us and to hold us close. There is nothing in life that can surpass that. And for this, we can be truly thankful. Amen.